during the first climb, and like my ass was on fire.
Kia ora everyone, that was Nancy Zhang. I'm Matt Raymond.
I'm Eugene Bingham.
And this is Dirt Church Radio. Interesting conversations with interesting runners.
Oh, hey, Eugene, it's Matt.
Oh, hi, Matt.
How's it going? Hey, you know how I've been working on that concept album for ages, and I was just at the sort of finishing stages and about to book some studio time?
No. Okay, well, yeah.
You'll never guess what happened, man. The weirdest thing. Someone, like, my house got broken into.
What?
Yeah, the house got broken into, and my ukulele was just smashed to pieces.
The pink one?
Yeah. No,
my God.
It's really odd, because it seems like the person who got in
knew
where the spare key was.
Yeah.
And my kids were home, so they were obviously, none of them were distressed by it, and the dog was in. So,
yeah.
And the person who smashed the ukulele went exactly to where it was.
What are you trying to say, Matt?
Well, nothing. It's weird. It's just weird. But hey, look, I guess what I'm saying is that ship for now has sailed.
But, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got another letter from Ultra. They are offering the Dirt Church Radio listeners 10% off if you go to ultrarunning.co.nz and purchase any pair of Ultra shoes, if you enter the promo code DCRSUX, that's DCR sucks. They were adamant that that's what we put in. So DCRSUX, they get 10% off. And also, they said that to buy us out of their contract was the words they used, that they'd give us 10% off as well. So the people who buy the Ultra shoes are happy. Their feet will be singing, you know, foot shape toe box, zero drop, all that jazz, power of three, all the good stuff. 10% off, so they get 10% off. We get 10% of whatever 10% off is. And if you enter the promo code DCR sucks, so DCR.
Wow. What was the website again? I'm going to write it down.
Ultrarunning.co.nz.
ALTRA.
Yeah, Ultra.
RUNNING.co.nz.
Yeah.
Wow.
So hopefully I can save up for a new ukulele when those dollars and cents start rolling in.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm still a little concerned that you're accusing me of something.
I'm not accusing you of anything.
You sure? You don't want another letter, do you?
Okay. Well, look, I guess we'll catch up tomorrow.
That sounds good.
DCR sucks. DCR SUX.
Yeah.
Promo code.
Okay. Running website.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, bro. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Dirt Church Radio. All right. There we go. Episode 16.
1-6. Sweet 16.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. We made it.
We did. We made it. They're certainly racking up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we did the RNZ podcast hour.
We did.
During the week?
Yeah, Radio New Zealand. So for those of you from overseas, it is a national taonga. It's a treasure. And I guess it's the equivalent of NPR in the States, isn't it?
Yeah. Or the ABC.
Or the ABC, Australian
Broadcasting. So we just went mainstream, basically.
Yeah.
We've sold out.
Sold out to the man.
Hey, just a quick clarification from that show.
Yeah.
Who am I? Am I Eugene?
You're Eugene Bingham. I'm Matt Raymond.
Right. As we said at the start of the show.
Even the dude Richard, who interviewed us, got our names wrong because we sound so similar.
Yeah,
so.
Even though before the interview he got us to say our names so that he would be able to distinguish us, he still got us wrong. But it was good fun. It was good fun.
Oh, it's a dream come true. Like,
yeah, it was cool. Yeah. And there was some other interesting podcasts. So it's a show that features top podcasts, and he had a listen to us and liked us.
Yep.
He also featured an advertising business insider one.
Yes.
Which had a crazy inside story of Pizza Hut ad featuring Donald Trump in the 90s.
Yeah, President Trump with Ivana, wasn't
it? Yeah. It was wacky.
Interesting times.
Very interesting times. Mr. President. Anyway, say no more. Nancy Zhang this week.
Yeah. Nancy Zhang sleeps in her race clothes.
She does. Interesting tip.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it if you had race numbers that you pin to yourself
or poles with you, but who, Nancy?
And if you roll over on your bottles, you're gonna make a mess.
That's right.
Or your hydration pack.
Yep. Sleep on your hose. Bed's flooded.
Oh, it's terrible.
Tailwind everywhere.
A whole different wet the bed thing. Anyway, no, she doesn't do that, but she does. Apparently, I read in her blog, she wears her race kit night before.
She can do whatever she wants.
She is doing what she wants.
Yeah, fifth at the OCC and 15th in the world at the mountain running champs.
Yep. And she's just from out of nowhere, she's just going for it.
Yep. And, you know, we're very privileged to be incredibly the first people she's spoken to.
Yeah, the first interview she's done.
First interview she's done.
Which, so, after the interview, we said to her, when she said that to us at the end of the chat, we said, well, can only get better.
Yeah, only way is up, Nancy.
Yeah, yeah. So she was really, really interesting. And I'm sure that lots of you won't have caught up with her before because she's never done an interview before. But you'll really enjoy it. She's fun and
gracious and kind and generous. And,
absolutely. Yeah. And a really interesting backstory coming from China and settling in New Zealand and then overcoming kind of some reluctance from her family.
Yeah, some cross-cultural stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, she talks about that really well. What have you been up to, Matt?
I've been running, actually. It's been really good. Yeah. I went for a
You've been doing great running.
Sick run this morning and was joined for the last sort of 7K by Tom, our friend. We bumped into each other by accident. I was going out. He was coming back. So he said, I'll loop back with you. And yeah, it was
cool.
It was really, really, it was amazing. It was helpful.
Really, really fast is what it was.
It was fast. Yeah, it was probably faster than I would have done by myself. But
you were Tommed.
Yeah, yeah, I was. Absolutely. But it was great fun.
It was good fun. Yeah. That's fun.
And you, sir?
Auckland Marathon.
Ooh.
It was just, I know this sounds terrible, but I was just taking it easy for Kepler. Kepler's the goal.
Yeah.
The 60K mountain race coming up in December. But I kind of, I don't know, I feel kind of obliged to do the Auckland Marathon. I feel like being an Auckland resident, it being in my backyard, I don't know why. I just feel I have to do it.
Well, you're a marathon runner.
Well, I like the marathon. I like the marathon.
So do I. But you very much,
I like it. But I haven't set out to race the Auckland Marathon for years. But there's something about running over the bridge.
Right.
Oh, man. The view from the top of the bridge.
Is it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes your soul sing.
That's awesome. Mm,
even though it's not a trail race. But anyway. There's that. Stuff you should know.
Stuff you should know.
This is about as far as you can get from Auckland Marathon, I think.
As far as you can get from anything.
Yeah.
Lazarus Lake.
Strikes again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That man's a prophet. So, yeah. What was it? The Big Backyard Ultra Race in Bellbuckle, Tennessee.
Yeah.
A race of attrition that doesn't end until there's only one person left.
Yes. So I'm sure lots of you heard of this, but those of you who haven't. So there's just one 4.1 mile loop.
Yep, that's 6.66667 kilometer loop.
Evil. Literally. No, literally. Figuratively. I don't know. And each lap starts on the hour. So if you take 40 minutes, you get 20 minutes rest.
Yep.
If you take 59 minutes, you get 1 minute rest.
Yep.
And you just keep going until you drop. And this year was the first year they did it.
Second year they did it.
Was the first year they did it after the first year.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first,
just let me finish my sentence.
Yeah, they did it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I got that wrong. Second year they did it.
It's their sophomore effort. But did you know if you run 6.666667 kilometers once an hour for 24 hours, that's 100 miles?
Yeah.
Very good.
So this year, Courtney DeWalter had a lot of people cheering for her.
Yeah.
So she won the Moab 240.
Yep.
Not so long ago.
Won Western States.
And she has beaten the top male in 10 of her last 55 races.
Wow.
She's a beast. Yeah. Amazing. So lots of people were cheering for her.
Yep.
And she ended up completing 67 laps.
Yep.
For a total of how far?
279.2 miles in 67 hours. Now that's approximately my calculations.
446 kilometers, wasn't it?
446.72 kilometers, yeah.
There you go. Wow. Yep. But she came up second this year behind Johan Steen of Stockholm,
who ran 453.38 kilometers.
Yeah.
In 68 hours.
Yeah. And so she basically, after the 67th lap, she just said, I can't do another lap. She knew she wouldn't finish that lap, so she just congratulated Johan, who then had to actually complete the lap to win it.
Oh, that's the thing with it. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the sting in the tail with any of that man's races, is it's not just about like her dropping out. You have to go out and finish another lap.
Because if he'd said, thanks, shaking the hand, gone, sat down, there would have been no winners.
No winners. Yeah. And do you know what you win?
What do you win? You got to win like $1 million or something.
You win an entry to Barclay.
thanks for coming, Prize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's amazing. But we wanted to feature it because it's just another example of Courtney DeWalter just really smashing it.
Yeah.
On behalf of female runners everywhere.
Yeah.
And Lucy Bartholomew, when we spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, was talking about Courtney as a real role model.
Yeah.
And Lucy is a real role model as well. And I think it's fantastic that we're seeing so many female runners just proving that girls can do anything.
Well, they had...
that's already been proved. Sorry, that's 1970s
Courtney,
attitude.
Courtney was on Joe Rogan the other day and or a while ago. And, you know, I sort of go back and forth on Joe Rogan, and no disrespect to the man. I think he has some incredibly interesting people on. But, you know, he's very... And his crew, they're very, you know, it's this tonic, that nootropic, this...
Yes, mushroom coffee.
This diet, that, this, that. It's all, and it's very, you know, and we have to be, yeah, it's very specific. And Courtney is sitting there, you know, she runs in basketball shorts and she's like, I like nachos and beer.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a really lovely counterpoint to that, you know, like this kind of...
She is who she is.
Yeah, she is who she is. And she's eating nachos and drinking beer and kicking ass and taking names. So, and also not to take away from Johann Steele, you know, like Johann Steen, that was an amazing, amazing effort. But I guess it certainly shows that when stuff gets pushed out to the far reaches of what is or what was thought to be possible,
yeah,
the gap very much closes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, it reminds me too of those races of oldie times.
Yeah.
The 1 mile every hour for 1,000 hours.
Yeah. That really appeals to me.
So if you don't know about it, it was sort of turn of this last century.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a race of 1 mile every hour for 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
Which when you first say it, you sort of go, oh yeah, it's not that far. It's okay. It's manageable. But imagine the sleep deprivation. That's what would get you.
Yeah. Well, 1,000 hours. I mean,
1,000 hours without sleep.
Imagine calling your boss. Look, I'm not going to be here for 1,000 hours.
40-something days.
The calculation on that.
Yeah. Just doing the maths. It's to go. It's because it's not that far every
41.6 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's stuff you should know. And speaking of stuff you should know, this is kind of stuff you should know and stuff you don't want to know.
Stuff you wish you never knew.
Yeah. So we have a column each week in the stuff on the Stuff website, which is a big news website here in New Zealand. And this week's effort was some tips for runners ahead of the marathon, which drew some fantastic comments from the Stuff commentators.
The commentators and stuff.
And some wacky and weird comments. And we just love them.
See, we left it out last week because the response to Eugene's article was actually...
It was too sane.
It was relevant. It was helpful. It was sane. And
Whereas this week we're not looking for that. Yeah, no. This week we're back to wacky and wild.
Yeah. So thank you in advance for nothing. Tree Hugger says, top tip, take up walking. It's less stressful on your body. Ask anyone over 60 who used to do a lot of running. It screws up your hip and knee joints.
Predictable.
Yeah, it's predictable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a response to that, though. Thank you. It's from Mao Man.
Yep.
That's the obvious response from a non-runner. I would like to think not every hip knee replacement is a consequence of running and other factors are at play. Run as long as you can, if only to prove the naysayers wrong. P.S. I'm over 60 and still running on the knees and hips I was born with. Yeehaw.
We're including you only because you were responding to that dude. Again, it's reasonable, it's sane. So you would automatically be disqualified, but
pick up your game.
Yusarian, 1971. I'm sure, what's that a reference to? Yusarian. That's a reference to something dystopian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to your strategy, no matter how good you feel. Oh, this is another.
It's another quite
kind
sane,
of sane one.
Damn
it. Oh, stick to your strategy, no matter how good you feel. My first marathon, I ran the first 21 kilometers in 1:32, thinking this marathon stuff is easy. only to hit the inevitable wall at 30 kilometers and finally crawled home in 4:08 in pain and suffering. Ha ha.
That is some...
Stay to your strategy and don't be dumb.
That's quite a split.
Never true words.
1:32 and then, what's that? 2 hours 30.
Yeah,
two hours 40.
2 hours.
Oh. Yeah, that's quite a positive slip.
Wow.
But Wayno came through with what should have been tip number one.
Yeah.
But he names tip number five, tape your nips.
Yeah, you got to tape your nips, man.
Never forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to do it. Anyway, that's stuff you should know and stuff you probably shouldn't know. Hey, greatest one ever. Last week we had a really good, really, really good response to the two that we had last week.
Yeah.
But particularly the one from
Usarian. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
He's the main protagonist of Catch 22.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom. There you go.
Beautiful.
Caught in a Catch 22 there running
Joseph
2 hours 40 for your second marathon, half marathon. When you've run 132, imagine that. You'd be cruising through. And I imagine the wheels didn't come off quickly. Like, that's probably.
I reckon they did, eh?
I reckon they got through halfway, felt pretty good. Got through another maybe 10K and then
just went, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's even more spectacular.
All respect to you though.
Totally.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You have to.
Good stuff.
I guess to be willing to knock it out of the park, you got to be willing to kind of.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. So you don't always win when you go to war.
No.
Mm. Hey, greatest run ever.
All right.
As I was saying before we discovered Catch 22, great response to last week's.
Yeah.
And thank you. Keep them coming. Send in your greatest run ever, which doesn't have to be your favorite race or your favorite achievement as such. It could just be some run that meant something to you for some particular reason. dirtchurchradio@gmail.com or on our social media channels at dirtchurchradio on Instagram, Twitter, and
Dirty Old Facebook.
Dirty Old Facebook.
Yep.
We're up to 14 and a half Twitter followers.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I think we've got two Russian bots now.
Good.
Like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's good to know.
Yeah.
Hey, so Katie Wright.
Katie Wright.
The first one. Hey, guys. Firstly, huge thanks for the podcast so far. Really enjoying them. Keep up the good work. You're welcome. Thanks for listening. Here's my addition to Greatest Run Ever. In September last year, I set out on a run around the perimeter of Wales.
As you do.
I'd never run further than a marathon. Holy smoke. I'd only ever run on roads. I didn't have any trail shoes. That soon changed. Every day was different, and any of them could contend for my greatest run ever. But one day in particular sticks out. I'd stayed the night before at an old-school British B&B.
Old-school Welsh B&B.
Well, it says British.
Keep going.
Your Welsh heritage is coming through here. And for those of you who don't know, B&B means bed breakfast.
Bed breakfast.
Yeah. Anyway. Think China tea sets and a four-poster bed. I've stayed in those kind of places and B&Bs in the UK. I looked just a little out of place in my muddy run kit that hadn't been washed for a week. I tried to explain my plan for the following day to the owner. I was aiming to set out at 7 a.m. for a 37-mile, 60-kilometre route over some pretty rugged coastline. There was silence in response, followed by grilling about how this was utterly impossible and breakfast wasn't served until 9 a.m. at the very earliest anyway. Needless to say, I snuck out at 7. The weather cleared as I reached the top of St. Anne's Head in Pembrokeshire. Did I say that right?
Yep.
All right. And I had this briefly hysterical moment of joy at being out there. 10 minutes later, the heavens opened and I was soaked for the rest of the day. There was absolutely no way I was going to give in and accept the impossible. So head down, run on. I arrived in town to where my hostel should have been just before dark. Google had lied. Google, you naughty liar. The hostel was actually 7 kilometres inland. My phone died and I had no map. I went into the village pub to ask for directions and with impossibly perfect timing, I asked just as a lady was approaching the bar who happened to be staying at the same place. Her and her partner kindly agreed to drop me off after a few beers and all of the food, of course. The day just completely encompassed everything that trail running is about for me. In a single run, you can experience every range of terrain, weather, emotion, and the kindness of strangers. I've been hooked on the trails ever since. Fantastic.
That's a fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
Katie Wright. That takes me back. I walked the Cotswold Way in the Cotswolds, which is 100 miles. I think I didn't do all 100 miles of it, but I had very similar experiences of turning up in B&Bs
right.
and being looked at strangely.
Like a shaggy tramp.
Yeah.
Yep.
So thank you so much. That's a brilliant greatest run ever. Thanks, Katie.
So this one from Anna O'Brien. There are so many contenders for the title of greatest run ever, from my first 20 kilometres with a bunch of Waikato trail runners to the Te Rere Atua Kahia Hut, where I realised that running with a group is awesome rather than daunting. On my first solo runs around Te Aroha and Pirongia, where I realized that running alone in the bush is empowering and magical rather than a bit scary. Then, the recent 24-hour Blue Lake Challenge, where I learned that pacing and mad friends make a massive difference on how far you can go, or the pure fun and energy of the Tarawera Marathon with their amazing aid stations and beautiful groomed trails. But ahead by our nose is still the Shot Over Moonlight Marathon. Everything about the weekend was epic. I trained properly under the guidance of Sarah Bliss from Speed Play Coaching, and it felt good to put in the work and see my times improve. My sister Michelle and her friend Sarah flew over from Australia to run the marathon too. Mum came down for support, and we hired a large house with a spa overlooking Lake Wakatipu. We caught choppers into the start at Skipper's Canyon. How bourgeoisie, but awesome at the same time.
Awesome.
Where I chatted with one of my running heroes, Lucy Bartholomew, of the show, who was absolutely gracious, and we were off. Narrow sheep tracks, steep drops, beach forest, river crossings, and wonderful rocky ridgelines. I'd planned to photograph it as I run, but my phone got wet and died, so I soaked in every sight and sound and smell, which was far better in hindsight. Around 32 kilometres, I hit a dark patch, which I'd never experienced before. Running is usually my escape and bliss. As I tried to run along a narrow and deep sheep rut on the side of a ridge, it was runnable, but I was struggling to run in the rut or on the hillside slope and was having a very harsh words with myself, especially when two women ran past and I still couldn't manage to run without tripping up. After making it back to even ground with the mental storm clouds passed, and the thought of the bear at the finish line was like a magnet for the last 5 kilometres home. It was pretty special seeing Mum at the finish line, and I was pleased with my final results. Sarah came home next, having missed a cutoff and been diverted home. She was hilariously grumpy in her conviction that she would never do that again, so we waited nervously for Michelle. Michelle's life had got in the way of training, but after 9 hours she pulled round the corner with the widest grin. She completed the marathon and crossed the finish line holding hands with two new friends, declaring it the best day ever. To quote Terry Davis, the meat and veg of life is in the suffering, and the suffering on this run certainly made it memorable. Also the majestic views, the sharing the course with friends and family, hitting the vineyards and taco medic afterwards before a spa overlooking the lake was no hardship either. I love this sport, and I feel that every time we go bush we learn something, or can be struck by that moment of such ethereal beauty that it makes the moment our best run ever. Awesome.
That's so good.
Feel free to abridge this. I will do no such thing.
We never, ever abridge.
And keep your good work coming. Just loving the podcast. Thank you very much, Anna. That's very kind of
and
you
to
send in that.
Two different examples there, isn't it? A sort of self-supported adventure, really, and a race. And that's kind of what Greatest Run Ever is about.
Absolutely.
And they both encapsulate, and even that race encapsulates adventure, really, doesn't it? And just... you know, we've all had those dark storm clouds come over us during
certainly
runs.
Have.
Yeah. Hey, I'm definitely tempted to run that race, the Shot Over Moonlight Marathon.
Yeah, me too. Kind of clashes with something I've got going on every year, but
yeah. It's good things about it.
Okay, so on to Nancy Jiang. Well, as we said, Nancy is newly, we didn't say this, but she is a New Zealand athlete. She runs for Ultra. She came fifth at the OCC in France, which is the 57-kilometer race on the UTMB festival. She came 15th at the World Mountain Running Championships. She immigrated here from China when she was 5 years old and settled in West Auckland, then Hamilton. She's newly living in Queenstown. This is her first time speaking to any form of media, and
she's the New Zealand trail running champion.
She is the New Zealand trail running champion.
She won the Crater Rim Ultra.
Yep, convincingly. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Nancy Jiang, enjoy.
Digit Radio.
Okay, kia ora everyone. We're with Nancy Jiang. Nancy, thanks so much for being on Dirt Church Radio. How are you going?
Good, thanks. I'm happy to be on here.
Awesome. And just settling into your new digs in Queenstown.
Yeah, moved down about a week ago and just loving it, running trails every day. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. What prompted the move?
I guess I was overseas in Europe in the French Alps for 4 months. I mean, when I came back to New Zealand, I just wanted to stay in the mountains and to keep running. And yeah, Queenstown was just the perfect location, really. So.
Understandable. Where had you been living in New Zealand before Queenstown?
And I grew up in Auckland, West Auckland, and moved down to Hamilton for work. And I was there for 4 years, but there's really no mountains.
When you think of great mountain cities of the world, Hamilton doesn't come to mind.
Or West Auckland, but there is Mount Atkinson.
Mount Atkinson?
Mount Atkinson in Te Tirangi.
Okay.
Not much of a mountain.
Though. I don't think you should move there from Queenstown, though.
No.
No, you should in Queenstown.
Just do reps.
Hey, Nancy, congratulations on an amazing, I was going to say summer, and of course it was European summer, New Zealand winter. It looks like you had an absolute blast and some great results.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I didn't really have a plan when I went over to Europe. Well, I had two races that I was planning to run. And then apart from that, I just, did whatever I felt like, really. And it just turned out really well for me.
Were you based anywhere in particular, or did you just follow the scene, or how did it work?
In 2017, I actually went to Europe there for maybe 5.5 months. And during most of that time, I was living in a ski resort in the French Alps called Ting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2 hours drive south of Chamonix. Yeah, so I loved it there. Good altitude training. Like, you're living at 2,100 meters above sea level, which is quite significant.
Mm.
While I was there, I started mountain running because that was a thing. Over in Europe, especially in the Alps, and then decided to go back again this year because I had qualified for the OCC race. Yeah, so I ended up staying in Ting again for 2 months, and prior to that, I was living in Chamonix, and mm-hmm. I was there for about maybe 2 weeks, but I traveled back and forth between Chamonix and Ting quite a bit.
What I mean, we hear about Chamonix so much here, and for those of us who haven't been there, can you just give us a bit of a picture of what it's like? Is it sort of full of runners at this time of year? Is there a buzz about the town? Just tell us a little bit about what it's like.
Oh yeah, it's full of runners. Oh my goodness. I think there are more people running around and with hydration packs than there are people not. especially during UTMB week, it's just a big running festival. So I was there in June. It's a lot more quiet at that time of the year. I think the mountain running season really starts in July. Maybe end of June when you have the marathon du Mont Blanc. But it's an awesome place. It's a valley with mountains on both sides. And there are so many running groups. I basically arrived not knowing anyone. And I just went on Facebook and I typed in running groups, Chamonix.
Oh,
and
wow.
I had so many come up. And it's really awesome. Like, you meet people at those and it's free. And then with some of them, they put on like I think in French it's called an apéro after the run. So they have like wine, cheese, saucissons, bread. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my Seems goodness.
Like a far cry from the Hamilton Hawks.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you talking about?
So you said you grew up in West Auckland. I mean, where did you get your... It's a long way from, you know, the Waitakere track to Chamonix. Where did you get your start in running? What drew you to it?
So I think what got me started running, you know, back in primary school where every morning the teacher makes you go do like a lap around the school field or PE. And then you had like cross country and athletics day in primary school. Yeah, so I guess I started running just because I was told to by the teacher. And it turned out I enjoyed it, so I continued running. I ran for Waitakere Athletics, an intermediate to start up high school, and then I actually had a bit of a break. I think I was just, I wasn't really enjoying it anymore. I think because I was quite young and there's still a bit of training and like it takes a bit of time and dedication. And when you're that age, I think sometimes you have other interests. And I didn't start running again till after uni when I had like work routine, like 8 or 5, so I could run outside of that. And then, yeah.
So that break, how long was that break?
Would have been quite a while. So it probably would have been from when I was 15, 16 till end of uni, which maybe 22.
Right. So a good sort of 7 years. But somehow that love of running stayed alive in you. So did you get drawn back to it, you know, for any particular reason or just for fitness or what was it?
The company that I started working for after uni, they actually had an office team running in the Round the Bridges, which is basically a race in Hamilton where you run around the bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. I ran it as a kid. I remember running, and famously, I got a frying pan as a prize. Once.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah.
Useful.
Fun fact.
Yeah,
fun fact. There you go. So, Round the Bridges got you hooked back into running.
Yeah, I was pretty unfit when I did that, and then I was like, okay, let's just keep running.
Yeah.
And it was quite good because the office was really into it as well. They kept encouraging us to enter into more races.
Fantastic. Like what sort of industry was it?
That was at Becker.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a big engineering company.
Yeah. 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 And so they had a real culture of running within that office.
They had a very social culture. They really encouraged their employees to get involved in sports and social events, and would always try to put in an office team into like the Great Lake Taupo Relay, Oxfam. What else? What's the Duel?
Wow. So you sort of became hooked through that, but obviously, you know, you were far more than a social runner. It must have been pretty quickly.
Yeah. It took me maybe about a year.
That's pretty quick.
I think we had a bet in the office about running the Auckland Marathon. So this was my first year into one of the guys, he's super competitive, and I'm also pretty competitive. And yeah, we just wanted to find out who could do better in the Auckland Marathon.
Yeah.
And who did better?
I did better.
So what? I guess it's a transition from, you know, like running as a child into your teenage years, then sort of giving it up because, you know, teenagers, and then picking it up as a younger adult, and then, you know, getting into this office culture, running on the roads, doing some, you know, getting fast, running the Auckland Marathons. What drew you to trails?
I was getting injured quite a bit running on the road. I don't know, my body just didn't like it. I'm not sure why. I guess maybe because the road is quite a hard surface and you're doing a lot of mileage when you're training for a marathon.
What sort of mileage were you doing?
High volume?
I'd say between like maybe 140, 160 kilometers. Yeah, sorry, yeah, 140.
So some pretty high mileage here, and your body does take a pounding. So you just sort of started to run on trails for training rather than racing? Is that how it started?
It was actually in 2017, actually that's last year, when I went overseas to Europe. So this was at the start of May. I actually arrived in Europe. I had a crack. Menisc in my knee, I have plantar fasciitis in both my feet. Just like lots of niggles from running.
They're not niggles. Sorry. Torn meniscus and plantar fasciitis.
Both feet.
That's gone through niggles and now the other side. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible nurse, but even I know.
I'm pretty bad. I try to ignore it. I'm like, ignorance is bliss. If I don't go see someone, it's not there.
This is a public safety announcement. Do not listen to Nancy. Do not ignore 2 feet of plantar fasciitis and a torn meniscus and think it is a niggle. All right, people? So sorry, you're right. We cut you off with our terrible medical advice.
But outrage.
Yeah. But you landed in Europe with these quote-unquote niggles. Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's the change of environment, or maybe because I just went straight into running on trails. But like the plantar fasciitis almost disappeared like straight away. I didn't have the pain at the bottom of my feet anymore. And like, I took it easy for the first few weeks. I went to see a GP in France, and like I didn't actually have that much pain in my knee when I was running. It was only when I like bend my knee 90 degrees or something like that or hurt. So I guess I kept running on trails. And then this was in Brittany, which is on the opposite side of France. That's where my partner's from. And then we went to Porte du Soleil, which is like a massive, it's basically like 6-7 different ski stations kind of connected by lifts, and it's pretty cool. It's the biggest mountain bike ski place in the Alps. So we were there for a few weeks, and I was just running up mountains, and I felt amazing. And then I really just jumped straight into mountain running.
So hang on. You turn up in France as a broken roadrunner.
Yeah,
and who's been living in Hamilton, which
ignoring a plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, living in Hamilton, which we've acknowledged is not the most mountainous region of the world, and suddenly you become a mountain runner. Wow! Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because you're just surrounded by amazing scenery, and you just want to go out and explore. But I found myself running longer and running or climbing higher as each week went on. It was pretty cool. Yeah. And I guess because I also wasn't working. So when I wasn't working, I was just resting.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did the altitude affect you at all? I mean, it's pretty tough adapting to altitude.
I was quite lucky. It just planned out that way. So the first place we went to, which is Porte du Soleil, we were in the ski station called Morzine, and that's about 800 meters above sea level. Right. So it's not too bad. And we were there for a few weeks. And then we went to another place called Les Deux Alpes. And that is about 1,500. But it was okay. Yeah. You could feel it. But I think your body just adapts.
Yeah. So it sounds like a bit of a gradual introduction.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sensible way to go. How did you qualify for OCC?
I basically went on to Google and searched up mountain running races in the Alps. And the website's quite good. It tells you of a race, a qualifying race for UTMB. And then I figured out how many points I needed and picked the races that were close to me and gave me enough points to qualify. And then it turned out I had, I think it's your ITRA, International Trail Running Association Index or something like that. And it was high enough to give me an automatic entry.
So by the time you turned up in France, you'd already, is it because you'd had some success on the road?
Oh, no, sorry. I spent 2017 running the mountain running running races and qualified for the 2018.
I understand.
Yeah. So you went back to Europe this year with the intention of running OCC.
Yes, yeah, and, yeah, that's the race I had planned to run.
Right, and had you had you qualified for the World Mountain Running Champs as well by that stage? You must have.
I had.
When I say qualified, I guess the team
been selected.
Team, yeah, been selected for
the UTMB entries go online at the end of the year, so that was 2007, end of 2017, and the the New Zealand Mountain Running Champs, that was February, March.
Right. Yeah.
Following year. I mean, like, I gave it a I decided, why not? I'm going to be in France anyway. And so, yeah, I just ran the New Zealand mountain running and just hope for the best.
So was that the first time you'd done those champs?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Wow. And so you head off to Europe. You've had a good performance at the New Zealand champs and you've already got OCC lined up. Was your goal OCC or the World Champs?
It was both.
Yeah.
Why not? Awesome. Why limit yourself? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured I'm going to be in Europe anyway, so I'm just going to make the most of it and give it a shot.
And you sure did.
Yeah.
You didn't. I mean, you didn't just give it a shot. You actually hit the target. You had an amazing season.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So I guess you didn't have any niggles, as you know. Did you go into the summer or into the European summer in good condition? Did you feel like it was going to be your time?
I wouldn't say that I knew it was going to be the season that I had, like, before the season started.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, like, make the most of it, take any opportunity that comes, and just go hard.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
Do the best I can, and if things go well, then yeah, that'll be awesome. And if things didn't go so well, I mean, it's like, at least I tried. There's no what ifs. So
talk us through a big, I mean, it's hard to fathom, and we talked about it last week with Scotty Hawker around, you know, Ultra de Mont Blanc, and what is the start of those big European races? How do you take that all in? You know, coming from New Zealand over to France, and there's just thousands and thousands of people. I mean, what is it like at the start?
At the start line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hectic. it's big. It's pretty full on. I mean, like the race I did, it was probably the smallest out of the four main ones. I think they had an MCC this year as well for the locals. Yeah.
Just for people who don't know, so OCC is 54. 54?
I think that was 57.
57K? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's an ultra, and it's in the same week, isn't it, as the big dog, as UTMB. So you've still got the crowds are there and so on, but you're saying it's not as big as UTMB, obviously, but still, it must be a huge atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it's because the OCC didn't start in Chamonix, like
right. UTMB. Yes, of course.
Yeah, it started in a tiny, tiny little village in Switzerland called. I might be pronouncing this wrong. I apologize.
We're not going to stop. We're not going to call you on that. It's fine. You can just go say it confidently.
I think it was about 1,000, give or take.
Yeah.
At the start line.
It's still a sizable amount for the small little brother or sister race of Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what time of day does it start? Is it like UTMB? Does it start in the afternoon? Does it start in the morning?
I believe started in the morning around 8 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
Which was perfect.
Yeah.
Because you're running in the heat.
Yeah.
Like the afternoon. Yeah.
And how did the race unfold?
It was good for the first. So basically at the OCC, you have three big peaks you need to climb. I got up the first one. That was sweet. I was feeling good. And then I was coming down the first peak. When I was almost at the bottom, I suddenly started cramping in my right leg.
How big is the, not your right leg, how big is the first climb? Like, what do you look, were you hiking up? Was it runnable? And then you just, are you bombing down? Are you conserving energy? What was going through your mind?
I think I ran most of that one. Yeah, I think it's about, maybe 10 kilometers.
Yep.
Horizontal. And maybe a bit over 1,000 meters of vertical gain.
Okay.
And
that's
It's no joke.
Yeah. And so when you say you had a bit of cramp, I mean, given what you said earlier, I'm presuming that your leg was just about falling off.
I think I know why I started cramping.
Had you been butted by a mountain goat or something?
No. So what happened was a month prior to my OCC race, I decided to run a 40-kilometer race in La Rosia, and I slipped on a rock, and I fell, and I landed quite hard on my left kneecap, and even since then, I've been having, problems with, I guess, pushing off my left.
Yeah.
And I think just subconsciously I was using my right leg a lot more. And I think in that particular OCC race, I was going quite, I guess, harder than in a training run.
Yeah, understandable because it's a race. So you're coming down, you've got this cramp, but you know you've got two more climbs to go.
I took it easy from then on. I was like, okay, let's not worry about placing. Let's just survive this race and try and enjoy it. So at the bottom of the first, at the bottom of that descent, my boyfriend, he was there cheering me on, and I had really bad cramps, and I totally ignored him. I felt terrible. I was too busy concentrating on the tram.
Did you just run right past him?
Yeah, I did. I didn't even look at him. So I felt quite bad.
Did he have a sign?
No. No. He was cheering me on. Yeah, really nice.
You were in the pain cave. Snake him. Yeah.
Yeah. Understandable.
And then started the second climb, and I hiked. I'd say I hiked maybe 50% of that, just because every time I try to push really hard, I'd start cramping again. Yeah. And then I got to the top of that climb. So I was coming third by this stage at this point. And at the top of that climb, I was passed and I couldn't do anything about it. I was literally on the top of that peak, laying on the ground, trying to stretch out my hamstring.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you said you were cast.
Passed, yeah.
Passed or cast?
Passed. Yeah, I was right. Overtaken.
But you were also cast because you were crippled by cramping lying on the ground.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Right. Wow. So you came fifth, though, and you're like, you're so reticent. You're like, I was taking it easy. I thought I'd just take it easy. You came fifth.
Yeah. I didn't take it easy on the third climb.
All right.
I was like, stuff this. You know what? I'm just going to go as hard as I can, even if I'm going to end up crawling. this is the OCC, and I came all this way. Like, you know, it's go hard or go home.
Yeah.
And home is too far away.
Yeah.
So where had you – so you by that stage you were in fourth. Had you slipped back further? Like, did you pass anyone on that final climb? Or?
No, I didn't.
But you hung on to fifth. You decided that's it. I'm not losing any more places.
And then another lady, she overtook me just after the losing. So this is probably a bit before the last climb, and now at this stage we're back in France. So I had slipped back to fifth position, and I saw that another lady was not too far behind me.
Yeah.
During the last climb, we were kind of back and forth, fifth, sixth kind of thing. And then I saw the summit of that last climb, and I was like, let's just go for it. yeah. And I could see that she was also struggling, so it made me feel a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So you came in fifth, and Ruth Croft had won the race, hadn't she?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, she is amazing. She was, oh my goodness, leading from the start, so strong. Yeah. She's my hero.
It must have been great to have two Kiwis in the top five.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, and like, you know, she introduced herself.
So you hadn't met her. You hadn't met her until then.
No, not in person. I knew Arthur.
Yeah,
but no, I hadn't met her.
Wow. So the first you met was when you were
standing on the podium.
Yeah.
SCC.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And did the media make a big deal of that? That out of the, you know, the top five women, that, you know, the winner and the fifth place were from New Zealand?
No.
So where were the other podium placeholders from?
Number two, she was Spanish. That was Salomon, I think. Number three and number four were definitely in Europe. I'm not 100% sure.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably France, I'd say.
Yeah, living in the mountains, growing up in the mountains, probably. And so, I mean, it was only a couple of weeks later that you lined up in Andorra, the world champs. And we saw that you wrote something about what it meant to you to represent New Zealand and how you'd made a pledge to your grandparents or something. Can you just tell us about that?
So my grandparents are very traditional Chinese grandparents. So were my parents, actually, when I was growing up. They really wanted me to do well academically.
Yep.
But, I mean, I was okay at school. I also had other plans. Like, I'd always been an outdoor person and loved to be outside playing, running around like a normal Kiwi kid would be. So we were like, no, you should be studying. You should be doing maths, learning calculus.
Well, the quote from your blog was, Chinese people don't run.
Yeah, they said that to me. But, I'm quite stubborn, I guess. but I decide I want to do something.
They must be pretty proud of you now.
Yeah, they are.
They wouldn't have been before, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, see, I showed you. Chinese people can run.
And so they'd said to you something about, what do you think you're going to run for New Zealand or something? How did that conversation go? What was that?
No, they were just, I think they were also maybe worried that like, I'm still growing. And I think it was just new to them, the idea of, I guess, a kid that's still growing, going out and running and training twice a day kind of thing. I think I was worried about my health as well.
Yeah.
And just like, why are you putting in so much effort? You think you're going to make a career out of it? Represent the country one day kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, at the time I didn't say yes or no, but in my head I was like, wow. Now that you mention it, I think I will try.
Look what they did to you.
So it was put down as sort of a challenge and maybe a little bit of a reality check. Is that what you think they were saying? Is, hey, look, I mean, we know you love it, but, you know, it'd be like me and Eugene throwing around a rugby ball in the back garden. We're probably not getting into the Northern Tour with the All Blacks.
Yeah, I think so. I think they were just generally worried or concerned.
Yeah. So how good was it to be able to achieve that, to wear the silver fan? It must have felt amazing.
It's hard to describe it. I'm just thinking back, to when I first came to New Zealand, and I was 5, and New Zealand has just been amazing to me. I think my life would have been so different if my parents had decided to stay in China. I guess I wanted to give something back to New Zealand, to say thank you.
I'm really interested because I grew up in West Auckland too. Where did you, you came from China to West Auckland, which is quite a cultural shift. Where did you live in West Auckland?
Maybe the first 10 years I was in Te Aritu South.
Oh, sick. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then moved to Te Aritu Peninsula.
Moving up in the world.
And we're, like, so you were 5 when you moved here. Do you have many memories of being in China? Like, do you remember that time moving here and so on? Must have been quite a wretch.
I remember getting sick on the plane. It was a bit bumpy. That I think I remember seeing like kids running around bare feet on the street, and I was like, oh my goodness, you can do that. So I started doing that, and I was like, hey, this is awesome. Yeah, I think because I was quite young, it didn't take long for me to just fit in, and
and I guess now the irony is that we're seeing a massive explosion of trail and ultra running in China and other parts of Asia. Have you ever flipped that back on your parents and said, see, Chinese people do run?
No, I think we're pretty hush-hush about that. I think they feel a bit bad about trying to stop me from running.
Tell them not to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that they did. And do you think about going back to China? Is there any races over there that you'd like to do? Or are you concentrating on Europe? What are your goals for the next season?
I haven't thought too much about it, about going to China to race. I might be doing the World Sky Running Series next year.
Right.
And one of the races is in China towards the Tibet side. And I think it's the highest altitude race out of the whole series. You go up to like 5,400 meters or something like that, and you start at 4,000, which is crazy.
Wow.
But I saw photos and the view looked amazing. So yeah, I want to go there and have a look at that one day.
So your plans at the moment for the New Zealand summer are base yourself in Queenstown and just get some training in? Are you going to do some races as well?
Yeah. Actually, last week.
Crater Rim.
Yes, yeah. So yes. That was my first race back in New Zealand.
And you just went and won it.
Yeah, thank you. that was fun. I like that race.
I hear it's... pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, not French Alps brutal, but...
So for me, I guess because I was lucky enough to have, 3.5 seasons of running around in the mountain in the Alps, Craters of the Rim didn't seem so bad. But having said that, I had a month off when I came back to New Zealand on the 20th September, and I didn't really do much between then and Craters of the Rim, mainly because I was so spoiled overseas in Europe with the trails. And now, I mean, I was back in Auckland, and the only trail or hill I had was One Tree Hill. and I ran, I was running up and down that 10 times in one run, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm going to go crazy. So, yeah, I didn't run that much. And I think for the first entire half of Craters of the Rim, I was in sleep mode. My body didn't want to race at all. Yeah. And it wasn't only till the last climb up to Kennedy's flat and back that I finally woke up. And I was like, hey, I'm in a race. So
So what position were you in at that point, do you know?
I think I was about 15th overall, and leading woman.
Yeah.
And then I managed to get to 10th overall at the end.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And so that race, that was also a qualifier for the World Trail Champs, is that right? I want to say Portugal, yeah. But I might be wrong.
Oh, is it in Portugal?
I might be wrong. No, don't quote me. Right. Don't pack your bags with Portugal, just on my say-so. But it's a qualifier for the World Champs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When I say qualifier, I mean selection for the World Champs.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I can get time off work, that might be quite cool if I can do that as well. Which is kind of like one of the reasons why I ended up running Cradles of the Rim. So I was driving from Auckland to Queenstown for that weekend. And then the race was going to be in Christchurch. It was kind of like the halfway point. I was like, oh, why not just stop on the way and do this race? But I think it was a storm that week at the start of that. No, it was about Thursday, Friday, I think it started in Queenstown and moving up the country. And they suspended all ferry crossings on the Cook Strait.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, you swam. No. Yeah.
No. I can't swim to save my life. Yeah. And I was like, no, I entered into this race. I really want to run this race. So what I ended up doing was we drove to Wellington. I booked the flight from Wellington. Saturday morning. So I left my boyfriend in Wellington with our car to take the ferry. I think the first crossing that they had opened up was Saturday night.
That's a step up from ignoring him on a trial race. You know, that's like yeah. I'm gonna leave you on Wellington. Yeah, that's next level.
Yeah, I was like, see you on the other side. And I feel bad because he gets seasick and he's rough after 5 minutes. She was really rough as well. Yeah, I'm a terrible girlfriend.
So you made it and you not only made it, you won. And that, so we've just confirmed that it is in Portugal. So there you go.
Yeah, yes. So you're going to Portugal maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Surely, I mean, if Nancy's boss is listening, I don't know, she comes to you with a leave form with, like, I'm going to the World Trail Running Champs in Portugal, give her the week off.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, because I kind of already asked if I can have 2 months off to do the sky running already. I don't know.
What's another week or so?
You work in engineering, can you work remotely or would it be just time away?
You can work remotely, of course, like, technology nowadays, everything is online and remote access, but I think the barrier is trust with your employer to make sure you know that you're still doing the hours and producing efficient work.
Yeah,
because I literally started with this new company today. Yeah, it might be a bit of an ask.
Did you do it at your welcome morning tea?
Can I have 2 months off? Oh, and by the way, can I go to Portugal as well?
Yeah.
And Argentina.
But here, have a cake.
For the sky run, for the world running, the mountain running is in Argentina.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've got to go there as well. Yeah. So your new job is based in Queenstown?
Yes.
Is it in the same field?
It is, yeah. Structural engineer. Yeah.
Fantastic. So contributing to New Zealand's infrastructure as well as winning races in the name of our country. So.
When you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're not overseas being a savage.
Okay, Nancy, we're probably reaching a point where we need to put to you the question that we put to everyone we interview. And it's I'll give you a bit of warning, but this is not really warning, but we're going to ask you what your greatest run ever is. And it doesn't have to be a race. It doesn't have to be one of those amazing events that you've talked about. It might just be some run that you've done where everything felt great and you just connected with the stars and the sky and the planets. So just, Nancy, what is your greatest run ever?
I would say it has to be my first ever mountain running race. I didn't feel amazing at all. Yeah, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I remember, so this is this particular race. It's in Valdezier. It's part of the World Sky Running Series. But the particular race I did is not the race that's in the World Sky Running Series, if that makes sense. They have a few distances. The one that is like 70-something kilometers. It's crazy. So I did 39 kilometer, and it's about 3,500 meters of elevation in that. And I remembered doing the first climb, and like my ass was on fire. And I was like, what is this? Like, I was crawling, using my hands to pull myself up. I was so scared. I was like, this is only the first climb, and I'm only like 5Ks in. Am I going to die? And then we went down.
You can take the girl out of Hamilton, but you can't take the Hamilton out of the girl.
No. I think it's West Auckland. You're trying to, distance her. You're trying to distance her from your hometown.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I ran in the Waitakere Ranges a little bit, but it was not the Alps at all.
No.
Similar.
So 39K, you've just started the race. Your posterior chain is firing in all cylinders. And you're thinking, Nancy, what are you up to?
Yeah, I was just like, and then we went down the descent. I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. I can still run. Let's just continue. And I just remembered, like, after that, basically, I went downhill from there, even though some, like, the race was going up and down. But, on the descents, my quads start cramping. On the ascents, my calves would be cramping. And, like, because it was my first race, I had no idea, like, about nutrition, hydration, that kind of thing, or pacing. And I think I was like, and then I was thinking, so the race is called the Six Cols, which is basically like the six peaks, and you basically do six big climbs. And the second to last one, that was the highest. So I remember, like, we were running up to the summit and then running along a ridge. You had like pretty steep drops on both sides. There were ropes, there were chains. I was running in snow. I've never ran in snow before. Like, I couldn't remember the last time I touched snow before then. And on the going down, I was like slipping on my ass. Yeah. And I was like, I was close to tears. I was like, I am so ready for this race to be over. I don't actually want to be here anymore. And I had miscounted the number of peak climbs I had done. I thought that was the last one. But no, there was one more, and it was the steepest. And then we had to go through a really dark technical tunnel, and I was stumbling around in that, and then came around the other side of the mountain. I was following this guy, and he took us in the wrong direction. We got lost, and he had no excuse. He was French. He should have known where he was going. Yeah. And we ended up doing like an extra 3 kilometers, I think. Ended up being like marathon distance. Got to the finish line. Yay, survived. And then I think when I finished, I was like, I do not want to run another mountain race ever. And the next day, I was pretty stiff and sore. But yeah, I guess that didn't stick because, yeah, I've ran a lot of mountain races.
So here you are.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I love that's your greatest run
ever. Yeah, I do too.
Brilliant. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's pretty colourful description of your greatest run ever.
Yeah, in fact, that is the most colourful description of a greatest run ever we've ever had.
Ever, ever.
Yeah. Ever, ever.
That's fantastic. And I just love that this is not like 10 years ago. This is last year when presumably the most, you know, for a while before that, the most rugged run you've done is along the river in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Hey, thank you so much. Absolutely. I really enjoyed talking to you and getting a bit of an insight into the scene in Europe and the amazing New Zealand winter European summer that you've had. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And look, as well, you know, like keep us in touch with what you're doing next season. We're really, really excited for you and we're sure that you just continue to build on your success.
So what you've achieved already. Yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Five words I never expected to hear Nancy Zhang say was, my ass is on fire.
Yep.
My ass was on fire.
My ass was on fire. It was wonderful.
Yes.
And I love those little moments where she just burst out of her shell and really told it like it was.
Yeah.
She was a great interview.
So thank you, Nancy. Yep. And thank you for listening. And keep an eye on this woman, I'm sure.
Hey, and Nancy's boss, make sure you give her some time off.
Yeah, for the World Champs in Portugal.
Yeah. It was good that we were able to find that for her.
Absolutely.
Quick bit of Googling during our chat.
How she asked for like 2 months off on her first day of a new job. Oh,
yeah, good on you, Nancy. And we're going to be looking forward to many great things. I'm
absolutely
sure. Especially if you keep away from those niggles.
That's right. Oh yeah, there's just those minor things, plantar fasciitis and a torn meniscus. Wicked.
Anyway, well
hate
done.
To see you get seriously hurt.
Hey, our live show is coming up pretty quickly.
November 24th at Thompson's Whiskey Distillery at Halitau Brewery. We'll be there from 4 p.m.
What's the go? People just come along?
Come along, have a beer, have a chat.
And we'll do a show.
We'll do a show.
So basically, what we're going to do is just record the show with a couple of guests.
Yep.
And a bit of crowd interaction.
Yep.
And we'll kind of see how it goes. Yep.
We'll just knock it out there.
We will.
Thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. We could not do this without you. And we are so pleased to contribute to the community. You can find us on iTunes, where we'd love it if you would rate, follow, subscribe, share, all the love, Stitcher, Google Play.
No, you can't get on Google Play yet.
Okay.
From New Zealand.
So we're on Stitcher. Mm. We are at our website, www.dirtchurchradio.com. Which is not a church or a radio.
Or an indie band.
No. And on all the social media platforms that you would care to mention.
And dirtchurchradio@gmail.com is our email address.
Yep.
For you to send us your greatest run ever or any other feedback you've got.
Yep.
Don't hold back, people.
Don't hold back.
Hey, thank you so much to Nancy.
Yep.
I know it was probably going out of your comfort zone to talk to wacky people on a podcast.
Yep.
But we really enjoyed it. Thank you so much to Ultra.
Yes, as always.
Yep. And thank you to our editor, Kieran.
Yep. And remember that code, everyone. So, you know, you want to get some 10% off some Ultra shoes, put in the code.
Go do it.
Go do it.
Go do it.
Ultra.co.nz.
Mm. Hey, we've got another great guest lined up for next week.
Yes.
Super excited.
A powerhouse of world running.
Super excited.
Yeah.
Catch you next week. Ka kite. Thanks, Rigby.